Life Audio.
If you are anything like me, then you are motivated by the stories of men and women who have experienced difficulty, pushed through that difficulty, continued to grind and do the hard work when success seemed out of reach, and yet, because they were diligent, did indeed experience a success that at one time perhaps seemed to them like only a dream. You're motivated by those stories just as I am, because when we're in our own moments of difficulty, when we feel hopeless and we look down the road and can't see an end, it's encouraging to know that others have been through situations perhaps different in form and fact than ours, but they've been through difficult situations that they did not anticipate how they were going to move through and yet experience success. We see that in them. We find hope for ourselves, and often it is those stories that give us the focus, the energy, the courage, and the will to take the next step. I love stories of people who are willing to overcome and diligent to do the work in front of them. And today I have an interview with a great team that is going to tell us their story. Today I have the opportunity to share with you an interview that I recently did with two members of Angel Studios. If you're not familiar with Angel Studios or Jeff and Jordan Harmon, you may not know those names, but you're probably familiar with their work. Their studio, Angel Studios, has produced the Chosen series, an incredible series that in so many ways is taking the world by storm. They've done a lot of other things, but that is not the beginning of the story. That's just the part we're seeing right now. To get to where they are, to do the work they're doing, they've had to endure some things, and I have the privilege of sharing that story with you as we come back in just a couple of minutes.
But look around, your family, your faith, they're not in the way. They are the way.
From the creators of Jesus Revolution comes the incredible true story.
It's going to be dangerous and scary and giving up. It's not an option.
The story of one family's journey from down under to center stage. Unsung Hero, a For King and Country film starring Candace Cameron Bure and Terry O'Quinn. In theaters now. Visit unsunghero.movie to learn more. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hello and welcome to the March or Die Show today. Very glad to have you with me, and just so grateful for the opportunity to share the interview that you are about to hear. You're going to be blessed by this one and encouraged and strengthened. We talk about March or Die. We talk about what it is to take the next step, to march when it would be easier to stay where you are and emotionally, spiritually, relationally just die. We talk about that all the time, and I give principles and hopefully perspectives that can encourage you to keep moving forward. Today is one of those perspective days, hearing the story from people who are doing good work, doing the hard work, making a difference, but had to fight to get there. And very grateful to be able to share this interview with you. Before we jump into this, though, I will remind you, if you have not yet subscribed to this podcast, do it now. Subscribe right now. You can then share this content out with others. That would be fantastic. And then for anything else that you might be looking for, other podcasts that I'm connected to, my social connections, the work that I do at the Mighty Oaks Foundation, go to one spot, jeremystalnaker.com, jeremystalnaker.com. You can find me there, and I would encourage you to check that out. Now, without any further ado, a fantastic conversation with Jeff and Jordan Harmon from Angel Studios. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me. Appreciate your time today and coming on for hopefully a great conversation. I know it will be on your end. I'm not so sure about my end. I mess it up a lot. But thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
We were just talking about this. It'd be weird if I didn't say it, but I didn't record. So since it's a podcast, I'll let everyone know. We've already had a great conversation, but now we're doing it for you, the audience, having recorded. Your story is an amazing story for so many reasons. You obviously produce The Chosen, the series that I think everyone on the planet is watching or at least has heard about. It's been funny to watch, actually, the response. Some are like, you have to watch this. It's life-changing. You sit your kids down right now, watch it. And others have a very different opinion. I think that's just the world that we live in. But you guys are producing incredible content for so many folks that is so valuable. I was mentioning, we were talking a minute ago, I was on the couch the other day flipping through some streaming stuff, and I found Dry Bar Comedy Special, which you guys produce, and my kids were like, can we watch something else? I'm like, no, you're going to sit here and you're going to laugh. It's going to be amazing, and we're going to do this together. It's awesome. I believe what you're doing is important work because of the world that we live in and the time we're living in, and you do it so well. But for people who would look at what's happening now in your world, they may come to the conclusion that perhaps it's been an easy path or you had some kind of an advantage, but you have worked very, very hard through some extremely difficult circumstance against some pretty big players to get to the place where you can do what you do now. And I would love it if you could take some time and just tell the story because it's such an amazing story.
It was actually a breeze. Super easy.
Short podcast.
No,
never mind. Forget it.
Whatsoever.
Forget it.
It was almost 10 years ago this year, Neil, our brother, he and Jordan had been working on this idea around a concept that would skip the content that's unacceptable in movies. So whether it's a rape scene or too violent of a scene or too much language that you don't want your family to see, you could just like skip it like an automatic remote. Yeah. And Neil came to me and said, let's work on this. We had just finished up, we just launched a ad agency called Harmon Brothers that did like Poopery commercials, Squatty Potty commercials, Lumi deodorant, Purple Mattress, lots of big household names.
Yeah.
And he had come to me and said, we had this list of businesses like, a long list of like, what would we try if we have time to build another business?
Filtering company didn't make the top 10.
Yeah. Well, filtering company was on there, but it wasn't like top of my list.
Right.
Because years ago, back in the early 2000s, there was a bunch of companies that came out and they said, we're going to skip the parts of shows that people don't want to see or families don't want to see. And they had built quite a big business off of it. And then the Hollywood studios came in and sued them all and shut them all down. Then in 2005, Congress passed, in response to what was happening with these lawsuits, passed this law called the Family Movie Act that made it legal. So Neil's coming to me and he's saying, let's go do this. It was called filtering, not to be confused with Instagram, but skipping.
Yeah.
The more appropriate word. Because back then Instagram didn't exist. So it would skip like an automatic remote. And I said, I don't really want to be sued by Hollywood, so let's not do that one. And Neil came up with this idea that had some inspiration around an idea of what this could become. And he said, Jeff, there are millions of people around the world that want this.
Right.
So if we can gather them around a filtering tool, a way that skips shows, once we get a large enough group of people wanting this service, then we can actually transition and launch a distribution company that builds content that people actually want to see and that we want to see for our families, rather than just skipping the parts of the content that you don't want to see. Make the stuff that we want to see.
Yeah, it's good.
And that was the moment I was like, I'm in. Jordan was already in. He and Neil had been working on it, but I'll jump in on this. And it reminded me a little bit of, if you've ever read Reed Hastings' stories with Netflix, Reed, he wanted to build a streaming service, but there was only 56K modems, and he had done a little bit of homework to realize that there's a law Now I'm on live.
But it's the law of doubling.
Yeah, every 18 months, your speed, internet speeds are doubling.
Okay, yep.
And so he took that, and I'll remember it in just a second, the law's name. But it's Moore's Law, I think. So it doubles, and he just said by the year 2012, internet's going to be fast enough that I can actually stream it. So I'm going to name it Netflix, which is what it should be down the road. And I'm going to ship DVDs in the meantime to build an audience.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Neil's kind of looking at it the same way, just saying, if we focus on this unserved group of people, which is what Reed Hastings did, he said, let's go to all the people who aren't being served, which are people that want to watch older movies, things that aren't in Blockbuster, and they'll wait in the they'll wait for it to come in the mail.
Yeah. I think so I'm still waiting on a couple of videos, actually. I think I've got a couple on the way.
They're pending in your Netflix account.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. So,
but his idea was serve this group of people who can't go anywhere else. This is the only place to go, build an audience, and eventually get good enough to take on Blockbuster, and then eventually shift over to streaming and build our own content. Neil's saying, let's go to this group of people who are underserved. They don't watch the movies anyway because they have too, you know, that one scene will make it so they won't show it to their family, and build a business off this that eventually creates original content. So we did a whole bunch of legal work, got attorneys from LA, like a previous attorney for the Oscars came in and he helped, and we built it out. And a year later, we got sued by Disney.
Yeah.
And ended up being like one of the lawsuits of the decade, which is just this massive. I mean, some attorneys have estimated that they spent over $30 million trying to destroy our company.
And to our knowledge, there hasn't been in the entertainment space a startup company who's been sued by four major studios and survived.
Yeah. And people, like, the first question I had is, why is Disney suing us? They should like family content.
Yeah, that's a great question. And why would they spend $30 million to do that?
Yeah.
So what's the answer?
The answer we've realized after some time is that if you are the family market, you have the family market cornered, and a company comes in and just with this skipping, muting, automatic remote feature makes all the other content more family friendly,
right?
It dilutes your market.
Yeah.
So the it's a big threat to their world to bring the rest of the content to become more marketable. So it's just anti-competitive. And so Disney sues us. We realize we have not got enough traction to make it all the way. So we go to our customer base and just say, hey, this has happened before. There were almost 20 of these companies that got sued out of existence. Now there's a law that says we can do this. And if you're interested in us fighting this up the court system, which is probably crazy, and you might lose your money.
Lose your money.
Lose your all of it.
Right.
And you have money you want to invest that you could afford to lose.
Yep.
And you want to back this, go for it.
Well, and even before that, I mean, there was for quite a few months, people reaching out to us saying, hey, how do we help? And they started donating, trying to just, you know,
Get
Angel
alive.
Like
$200,000 in just donations.
Like just people sending money. And we're like, you guys are wasting your money.
Not a nonprofit.
Yeah.
And we were saying they're wasting
Money. I know. But in our brain, it's like this feels like it's kind of going into
not great sales guys, but people gave money anyhow. So
let me
tell you about the worst deal possible. Now we need your money to get through this.
It was super fortunate because right around that time, the Jobs Act passes. And it basically allows for
– it was a year before,
A year before the Jobs Act passed. And Neil had been studying that really heavily. And it allowed for small companies to do crowdfunding campaigns and offer up equity.
Yeah. My next door neighbor over the fence, he was in law school studying the Jobs Act as well and had been telling me all about it. And Neil brought it up. And so we said, let's just go to the crowd. And we said, do you want to invest? There's this new law. And we raised $10 million in 5 days. Which surprised us. So another brother,
Can I stop you right there? What you raised that much money? What did that communicate to you? Did it communicate people are really interested in freedom? They hate Disney. They like us personally. Faith is really more important than most people understand. What was the message that you received from that?
The missions matter a lot. Like the mission of your company
yeah.
was really critical. And we had a very important mission that yeah. was probably like semi-suicidal for a company.
the best kind.
But they were like, oh, if these guys will go do that, then here's my $100.
Right.
Yeah, there's also some naivete on our side, and they're like, we can do this.
yeah, we can do this. So we raised the $10 million, and another brother, Daniel, who's creative director over at the agency, we have six brothers total, he calls me the day after we raise that money and just says, Jeff, do you understand, like, we've been trying to figure out how we go from, you've been trying to figure out, because he wasn't doing specifically.
He was all doing creative work at that
yeah. point. And so he said, been trying to figure out how you're going to jump from kind of this skipping, muting world yeah. with other content into original content. And one of the big problems is you got to get enough money to have the budgets to make a decent show in order to enter that world. And he's like, but you can use crowds if you give them a good enough vision and a good enough mission that they'll come in and they'll fund big budget content. Yep. And we can actually build shows and movies like the studios do. And so I was like, that's so true, Daniel. And so I started my search, and we launched Dry Bar Comedy was the first thing we did. And we did that internally just to prove that we could build something on our own. Did three seasons of that before it took off. It was really scary to start each season again because you weren't making money yet.
And sure.
We were
sure.
in this massive lawsuit and Disney's like kicking our butt. And so we're moving through the court system, burning through money, trying to get Dry Bar Comedy off the ground. And finally Dry Bar takes off. And now today people know because it had over 1 billion views last year, has over 4 billion views total and 150 million viewers.
That's incredible.
So Dry Bar Comedy, the concept behind that was just HBO started with comedy, stand-up comedy. That's how they started. And they would broadcast comedians, and it was cheap enough to be able to produce high quality content, but it doesn't cost a lot to produce a lot of it.
Yeah.
And so same thing with Dry Bar. We're like, if they can do it, let's take really good comedians who normally don't necessarily have, like, they're not necessarily like safe comedians. We call it, you know, safe comedy. You can, your kids might not understand it, so you can't say it's family friendly comedy, but it's safe to watch at home with your kids around because
You know, it's not going to be thrown out F-words.
Not using innuendo and F-words. And so we'd bring comedians in that normally aren't safe and just say, here are the rules. Go up on the stage and do a clean set.
Yeah.
And then they get up and they do a clean set. And over 70% of the comedians in Dry Bar aren't normally clean. But they're clean when they're on our system, they're clean. Yeah. So a lot of people like get in the comments or send us emails saying, oh, I loved this comedian, or comedians get messages where they're at a show in like some other part of the country. And somebody walks up and says, I'm so disappointed. I watched you on Dry Bar.
Yeah.
I bought tickets to the show.
You're so vulgar outside of Dry Bar.
That's hilarious.
So, but the idea is to bring it's easier to make a good comedian clean, to teach them to be clean, than it is to take somebody who's not funny.
And
make them funny. It's so much easier the other way around. And we've had comedians that have completely changed their entire set. Like one comedian called me and said, Jeff, I've been trying desperately to get out of where I'm at because I've got family and kids now. And I started this years ago, and he was like, and my little kids, I feel ashamed that they're going to see what I've done in the past. And he said, you just launched my career into a clean comedy world, and I'm switching my whole entire trajectory.
Wow.
And he did, he switched it, and he's doing super well. And so Dry Bar just like grew and grew and grew. Now there's over 500 comedians that have come here and done shows. It's the largest library of stand-up comedy out there. And you're going to see a lot of stuff over the next 18 months with Dry Bar. But we're in the thick of it. We are in a massive lawsuit. And then I'm searching for what's our next like crowdfunded show. How do we step it up from Dry Bar to be something bigger? And a friend of mine, Matthew Ferracci, and he works on our press side. You know Matthew, I'm sure.
Yep.
He sends me this link. It's just a Vimeo link that says short film. That was it. And Matthew, if you've ever gotten an email from him, that's probably not. He just expects you to watch it because he sends it.
Check this out right now.
What's funny is if I get anything from him, I do watch it. I don't ask questions.
That's right. So I open it up. I watch it. And about – it's like – I think it's August of 2017. And I open it up. I watch it, and halfway through, this little shepherd that's like the lowest of the low, he's from first century time period, runs into Mary and Joseph. And I'm like, oh, this is a Christmas thing. and then by the end, I just like a flood of ideas and information just pour into my mind. And it was like a clear path of how to use the things we had learned about crowdfunding a year before, how to... take this and turn it into a pilot show. How to format it? It was like a decade of marketing knowledge all just like started to like...
It was like the puzzle pieces were all
there. Yeah, the puzzle pieces were somewhere buried deep inside, but it was like, I think it was inspiration where God was teaching me like, do this and do this and put it together this way. And this is how you're going to get to a funded TV series.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in... anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So... I call Matthew, say, Matthew, does this guy have a TV series by chance that we can make out of this? And Matthew says, actually, he is thinking about a TV series. So he connects me with Dallas Jenkins, and we're from Utah. We just learned that we needed to file Chapter 11 protective bankruptcy. It's not like normal bankruptcy, but it's we were using it for a shield against a predator. We're members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, so Mormons. Dallas Jenkins is an evangelical with a super like top-selling author dad in that community. Matthew says Dallas doesn't like the filtering. He doesn't like skipping stuff. He's a director. He doesn't want you to touch his stuff.
Yeah.
That we are in a lawsuit against the biggest studio in the world. Can you get blacklisted?
Things
from
aren't
this?
Really adding up in the paper for this.
And, like, and as a side, Matthew Ferracci is a Jewish. Is Jewish. So you got a Mormon guy being connected to a Christian guy with a Jewish guy, and meanwhile you're fighting Disney. So nobody believes this story.
Yeah, and so I'm like, how am I gonna? So I get on with Dallas, and I'm trying to like. Hey, we built Poopery and Squatty Potty and deodorant commercials. They're massive. We did Dry Bar, and I'm trying to like weave my way around. And we get done, and he just says, "I'm interested, Jeff." I was like, wow. Okay. Now, yeah. At the time, it was like, either I'm a really good salesman or this guy's desperate.
Yeah.
And it turns out a bit of both. So Dallas and Amanda fly out to Utah, and we pitch them on this idea of, can you guys work with us? We'll help you crowdfund it, and we'll build the House of Cards. That's Netflix's first series. We'll build our first original series for Angel Studios to launch our studio the way that Netflix used House of Cards to launch their world. And they said, all right, let's do it. And then we said, well, wait. We also need to explain. You came out here. Now you see us, how we are on a personal level in our faith. And
he was family events. And yeah.
You got to do a lot of homework because you got to know what you're getting into, because we know the evangelical world and the Latter-day Saint world are usually kind of like,
right.
And then we said, look, we're not going to have any say into what you do doctrinally in the show. We're just going to try to get it to the world. And as long as you stick to the New Testament, we're okay with that. Like, the New Testament isn't like, the Gospels are not going to get to a spot where we're like trying to like compete over doctrines.
Going to the Old Testament.
That's an important point, right? Because I think a lot of the criticism of The Chosen is, well, you've got, a production company, they're Mormon, and you've got a Christian guy and trying to put it together. Yeah. And people that may not understand what you just said have a hard time with that.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And on vice versa. I wrote a blog post about this where I was having a hard time getting any of my friends to watch, because they're like, you let an evangelical choose all this stuff? I'm not going to watch this. And so we were losing both ways.
Right.
Getting. Because they weren't thrilled with the idea that we had given up all the creative control over the show. And we just said, look, it's the Gospels. We actually agree most of the way on the Gospels. Like, there's very little differences. So as long as he sticks with the Bible, no big deal.
Well, that, and we also, in Angel, in our background, we're very much of the mindset that like the creators have a responsibility to their community and to their viewers, not to us as Angel Studios.
Right,
even though we're the distribution studio and pops up and everything,
we
believe if they really are doing a great job at making their viewers excited about their content, then we're fine.
Mm-hmm. And even though we're founders, that like our executive team is very diverse. We've got 8,000 families who invested from all over the world, and the vast majority of them are not the same faith as we are. So we have to represent. The company is not, this is one of the things that drives me crazy when I read like blogs and stuff. Like, this is a Latter-day Saint company.
Right? Yeah.
It's not. It has no.
Well, what's crazy, so I'm a evangelical Christian, and I'm very involved in the church world. I've pastored churches, and I know a lot of churches that are using The Chosen as a study tool. So they're gathering groups, they're watching it together, they're having conversations about it. So it is funny, because then I see this criticism of you guys as a studio and your background and stuff, and it just like it doesn't compute. It's almost like people are throwing tomatoes just because they need someone to throw something at. It's a really weird thing, right?
There's an element of that, and I had someone who said to me one time, because I was explaining this weird element of the the LDS and the evangelical side, and he says, I don't understand why people are so worried about it. They want like the crazies in Hollywood directing this or distributing this. Like we're so worried about, we're all Christians. We're all trying to go in this, towards Christ. And that's the goal.
Well, and we're, the differences between the faiths are significant.
They are,
but that's founders. That's not the company first off.
Yep.
And number two is, this is Dallas's show. This isn't our show from a storytelling standpoint. And also just one thing that blew my mind is a friend came up to me and he's like, oh, I was just in Japan. And he's like, all of the missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints are now authorized to use clips from The Chosen to introduce Japanese Buddhists to Christ. And I went and told Dallas, I was like, Dallas, your show is being used this way. And he was like, I never would have thought of that.
Funny.
So it's really like just spontaneous stuff all over the world is happening. And so I go to Dallas. They say yes. We bet the farm on it. we are in chapter 11. Disney, like, we got to where we had 40 days of runway left during the middle of this.
Wow. Runway meaning cash.
Yeah,
we were going to run out of money.
40 days, you have more money to pay bills. And Drybar took off enough to pay the bills. And then we lose the first round of the Disney lawsuit. And they hit us in L.A. court, in downtown L.A., that the studios call the bank. They call this court the bank, because if they get an opponent into this court without an L.A. judge, then they get money.
Yeah.
And so we go into that court, we lose that first round, and we lose it to the tune of $62.5 million is the judgment.
Wow.
And which is bigger per work judgment, it is bigger than any Pirates ever had. And we made the studios money. And all we're trying to do is skip over stuff people have already paid to watch.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. The studios were making millions of dollars off of what we were doing. So in our opinion, it was a very unfair ruling. We were getting ready to appeal it. And then we have a trustee come into the company. So a trustee's running the company at this point. And the trustee tells us, because we launched the first four episodes of The Chosen, and they were just doing okay, but they weren't doing super well. It wasn't on track to succeed. And the trustee says, when you launch the second four episodes at Thanksgiving, I need you to make $1.5 million by the end of the year, or else you're going to go into Chapter 7 bankruptcy.
Liquidate everything.
Liquidate everything. And we had only made $750,000 in the first 11 months of the year. So, we had this realization as we're trying to figure out, like, I could not get people to watch The Chosen. If they watched it, they loved it. But getting them to sit down and watch it. So I'd started just like doing dinners at my house all summer. And I'd invite people over for dinner. And then I'd be like, hey, we're going to watch the first three episodes of this movie I helped make.
Thanks for coming over. Now go sit on the couch.
Until you watch
it. And they'd be like, oh, I got to go. Nope, you're sitting down.
Yeah.
I've spent the last 2 years of my life working on this, and you are going to watch this. And so sit down, and they would, every time, they're just like exploding with excitement after they're done. They're like, wow, I didn't have any idea what was going on. And then there was a little fan club building on social media. And people would come on and say, because we were testing all kinds of older models, like subscriptions and
everything,
free month, and then or free episode, or pay, just buy them outright, etc. Just all kinds of stuff. And it wasn't working. And we would even like let people buy it for other people. And tons of people would. They would watch it and then they'd buy like 50 copies of the show.
Share links all over.
Share all the links. And then we were tracking the links, and the links weren't getting watched. It was like 95% of people, their friend would buy it for them, say, watch this. And their friends just wouldn't even like open the link or click on it, because they were like, Jesus show? I'm not watching the Jesus show.
You needed Matthew Ferracci to send those links out for you. Then everyone would watch every single
that's
one.
That's right. That's right. And so, interesting, Matthew was actually the first money into The Chosen.
Yeah, he was.
Like, very first guy to get in. He's a founder, executive producer. But so we go. And we, and we're reading the comments, and a consistent comment is people saying, I'd love to finish watching the series. I watched the first couple episodes that were free, but I can't afford to buy the rest. And every single time somebody would comment and say, give me your email, I'll send you a copy.
Wow.
I'll buy it for you.
Yeah. Wow.
100% of the time. And so this idea came for what we call pay it forward, where let everybody watch it on someone else's dime. So all the initial investors are the first people we seeded it with. You watch it for free. It has a name that says, this person paid for you to watch this episode.
Wow.
And then at the end of the episode, you can pay it forward to pay for somebody else. And I think it was around 1 in 10 people who finished an episode would click, and they would go pay for someone else, and they'd pay for another 10 people. And so, brought that up with Dallas, said, great idea, let's do it on season two. And I was like, no, you don't understand. We have to make $1.5 million by the end of the year.
Right.
Currently, we're not going to make $1.5
million. Right. Right.
Actually, I don't think I told him that. But so we launch at Thanksgiving, and we bring out a new app called the Chosen app, which is now called Angel. It's the Angel app currently, but at the time we just called it Chosen.
Yep.
And we launched this pay it forward model, and we hit exactly $1.5 million at the end of the year with pay it forward.
Unbelievable.
And then it starts taking off. And by February, we're talking to the trustee and we said, look, at the speed this is going, look at our revenues. What do you think? Can we just pay Disney back? You know, while we appeal, all what we have to do is make an argument that we can cover the cost and then appeal and get it overturned. And he says, yeah, I think you can. Let's make a 14-year plan to pay them back, and I'll take it to the court. Yeah. And he goes to the court, and he submits a 14-year plan. And immediately, Disney's like, no. Just put him into Chapter 7. The judge is like, wait a second.
You don't want to be paid back?
You don't want to be paid back your money?
They just want you to stop working. Yeah.
He's like, this is why... This is
sounding a lot more predatory than
this is predatory. And the judge started saying, how do I trust you guys?
Yeah.
And then the pandemic hits, Disney starts losing tons of money. The pandemic hits, we start taking off because everybody's at home and they want to watch something. And then Disney we file our appeal into the upper circuits to overturn the ruling, which we believe would have totally won. Within 2 weeks of us filing the appeal, we get notes from Disney saying, will you just take a settlement? And it will be less than it will be just what we publicly talked about as our attorney's fees, which is much less than what they really were.
Yep.
And we'll walk away and we'll let this go. And we went to our investors and said, do you want us to walk away or do you want us to take this up the courts? And we have The Chosen, we have Drive Bar Comedy, and they overwhelmingly voted walk away, settle, and let's just build new content.
Unbelievable. What an amazing story. I mean, there's so many things there. I wish we had 2 hours to break it down. With all of that in mind, I'm sure there are 1,000 lessons that you guys learned through that, but What are the major takeaways from you having lived through that, and telling that story in 20 minutes does not communicate probably the heartbreak and the anxiety and the sleepless nights and the talking to your spouses about what this might look like for our families. And I can't even imagine going through that process that you went through. You come through on the other side. Things are taking off in an incredible way. As you look back, what are some of the important lessons that are kind of like lifelong? We'll take these into our lives. We're talking to our kids about this. These are the important lessons we learned.
I think for me, when I look back at the last 10 years, I think I've consistently, I feel like as a team, we've consistently seen that before every major breakthrough, there's been something extremely painful.
Wow.
And I want my kids to realize that as they're going through life, as they're experiencing pain, they need to understand and have the faith that that means a breakthrough's on the way.
That's great. Right.
And so that's something that, you know, after you go through those cycles, it you start overcoming bigger and bigger challenges, but they don't have the same weight as they would have just 5 years earlier, because God walks you through the experiences he needs you to go through so that you can overcome the things that he needs you to do in the future. And so that's been a huge, huge takeaway for me as I'm going through trials and challenges, because I actually believe, and Jeff says this all the time, like, we have had incredible success and we're so grateful for it. But what we're trying to do is so much bigger than the last 10 years. It's really that our biggest days and our hardest days are probably ahead of us in some ways. And that we've got to continue to create incredible content that amplifies light throughout the world. And every time we get into those hard, difficult times with the business, and we're able to go through those experiences and remember and reflect back that there's a breakthrough on the horizon.
That's great.
Yeah. Pain is a tool that God uses.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I lost my train of thought.
No, I think that principle is so important, because everyone goes through difficult times and trials and sometimes sees that as the wall that they can't get beyond, right? Well, if this was meant to be, or if God was in this, or if this was going to work, then
it's Romans 8:28, right? Romans 8:28 is like my theme, the theme yeah. song, the theme yeah, yeah. scripture is God, everything will work out for the good of those who believe and are called. That's and, right. That's like, if you truly believe that, it's true. Like I can like give my witness that that's a real thing. And there was a significant period of time while we were like when Disney, when we got ruled against and we had that, that debt on our shoulders, that was a moment where I was just like, I don't see how we're going to make it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to overcome this. Like it's not, it doesn't seem logically possible.
Yeah. What you even said during that time period, what was your saying when someone said,
yeah, I just wrote down in my journal. I said, I had an evangelical pastor friend call me out of the blue after that happened. He just said, Jeff, I'm praying for you. Our family's praying for you. And I believe that God has a path.
Mm.
And Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus, just that there's a few, handful of people, you know, you're real friends.
Yeah.
When you see what they do when everybody else has just disappeared. But yeah. Jonathan Rumi texted me and he just said, God is... got his plans. So just hang on.
That's good.
And I wrote down in my journal, I don't believe that like on a deep level, I don't believe we're going to make it through this, like, but I'm going to work like I do.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Do the work. There's so much in what you said. I always tell people, you know who your friends are because they're walking in when everyone else is walking out. And that's how you really know who your friends are. But doing the work, even though you don't know the outcome, because the outcome is not up to us. I wrote a blog post several weeks ago now, and it was just entitled, Do the Work. And we're on a path that God has placed us on, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. God's placed us on that path. We're to pursue Christ. But our job is to do the work, to take the steps, to keep moving forward. The consequence or the result is up to God. That principle can carry you forward. Now, let me ask you this as a final question. How do you stay motivated to keep dreaming and going for the bigger thing? Because I have had times in my life where I've struggled. I've had those moments where we're not going to make it. God does something amazing. And I go, thank you, God. I don't ever want to experience that again. So I'm not going to try. How do you keep going?
I know the feeling.
I think this is about having a really good team. Like we all go through those cycles, but if you surround yourself with the right kind of people,
that's good.
We've got the benefit of brothers, plus just incredible executive team. Like one of the things I believe is that the next phase we're going to be able to make it through because of what's happened in the past. It's not like, oh, we had to go through all that crap and it doesn't.
Because of waiting
through all that mud, and it's because of that that the right people are on our team now. These are the ones that stuck with us. They're the most talented. They're the most gritty and the most mission oriented. We have the right team to go to the next step. And there's even like we've had filmmakers that have done big Hollywood projects that come to us and say, because of what you've done in the past, I know I can trust you.
And I think on top of that, when you look at the scope of the world, you know, we started this, we were having conversations in 2012 and 2013. And I remember when we were having these conversations, we all have kids and we looked at the content in the world and content's upstream from culture.
Yep.
And so our mission is to tell stories that amplify light. And we want to be able to tell the stories that will impact the culture for generations to come. And that definitely keeps us going.
We define light. This is how we define it. Is whatever is honest, whatever is true, honest, noble, just, authentic, lovely, admirable, excellent, or worthy of praise.
Yeah.
So that is the rule for the content. It's not very exclusive. It's very encompassing of all good things. Philippians 4:8 is where we get the inspiration. And then went to all the different translations and picked the words we liked. And
well, you can do that because you're Mormon. Like, well, we can't do that. That's awesome. Man, guys, thank you so much for that. It's such an encouragement to hear your story and understand perseverance. But then on this side, like in real time, seeing what God is doing with your commitment and dedication and hard work and just pushing through. So thank you for that. What can people do, or where can people go to follow you to get, I mean, I think the whole planet knows where to find The Chosen, but for those people who are listening that are like, The Chosen, what is that about? Where do they need to go to find what you guys are up to?
Angel.com. Just go to angel.com. Yeah. You can find it. We're also on Twitter.
Yeah, all socials, but you go to angel.com, you'll be able to see The Chosen, Dry Bar Comedy, Tuttle Twins. There's multiple Wing TV Feather series Saga. That are coming up the pipeline and dozens and dozens in the future, hundreds more to come. So we're very excited.
You're going to find a lot of faith-friendly content there and a lot of just other great family content.
Yeah. Awesome. Jeff and Jordan, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
I love that interview. That is one I'd like to dive even deeper into. That's actually the second time I've had the opportunity to hear that story and have that conversation. Man, just fantastic. It encourages my heart on so many levels, and I hope it encourages you as well. Very thankful for not only what they have been through and what they've done and what they're doing, but their willingness to sit down with us and tell that story. So please go and check out the work that Angel Studios is doing. If you haven't watched The Chosen, I would encourage you to get started on that. Again, that would be an encouragement to you, and check that out. Thank you for watching the podcast. Thank you for listening. If you are listening, again, if you're not yet subscribed, please subscribe. You can do that right now, and I would encourage you to do that right now. Also, go to jeremystolnicker.com, jeremystolnicker.com. You can find my website that has my blog, a couple of different areas that I write. You can find that there, right, every single week. Other podcasts that I'm connected to, all of my socials, my work with the Mighty Oaks Foundation, all of that can be linked out there. So please go ahead and check that out. Really appreciate it. Stop by Life Audio, lifeaudio.com. You can find this podcast, other great podcasts, some incredible content, great hosts there, content that will be, again, a help to you and really focusing on your faith life. So please check that out as well. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And I will remind you as we end today, as I do just about every week, sometimes I forget, but just about every week, when the bullets are coming your direction, when it feels like the mortar rounds are falling at your feet, you only have two choices. You can stay where you are and die. You can make that decision. But the better decision is to march. Will you march when it would be easier to stay where you are and die? Thankfully, the choice is always yours. Many of our veterans feel they need to fight their battles alone. This self-isolation has led to the staggering statistic of more than 20 veterans taking their lives every day. The mission of Mighty Oaks is to eradicate the veteran suicide epidemic and help our warriors change their legacies. We've been able to help over 4,000 veterans and first responders by equipping them with the tools they need to live the lives they were created to live. Our faith-based, peer-to-peer approach has one of the highest success rates of any program available today, offering hope and understanding to those who need it most. By aligning their lives to biblical principles, these men and women are able to lead their families, their communities, and our nation. It's your generosity that can make a difference in the lives of the men and women who have fought for our country and our freedoms. Now that they're home, don't let them fight alone. Learn more at mightyoaksprograms.org.
Our world can feel chaotic and uncertain, but we don't have to live enslaved to fear. Christ has promised me and you his peace, and throughout Scripture has provided powerful tools and practical steps to help us experience greater freedom. I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, inviting you to join me and my team as together we learn how to starve our fears and feed our faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com or wherever you access podcast content.